I'm glad to see. I was wondering what today was going to be like, you know, the last holiday. Who's going to be here? Who's not going to be here? What's it going to be like? I'm glad to see you guys have a priority here, and you're here with us to worship. I want to thank you for being with us and being a part. We're going to have a great time this morning. In your worship folder is a little outline. Let me encourage you to pull that out. You can kind of follow along. There's some things to fill out and enjoy with us. We're in the middle, we're on the third in a series on the book of Jonah. We've been looking at Jonah's life, kind of following him. Many of us grew up with a flannel board Bible stories, flapping these little things on them, telling the story of Jonah and the giant fish. And so we've been kind of following that story, and kind of quick review here if you're not familiar with the story. The first chapter, Jonah gets a call from God, go to the city of Nineveh. Well, Jonah didn't want to go. So God says go, Jonah says no. And so he decides to sail off, and here's what it says here. But Jonah got up and ran from the Lord by going to Tarshish. He went to the city of Joppa, where he found that was going to the city of Tarshish. Jonah paid for the trip and went aboard, planning to go to Tarshish to run from the Lord. If you were here during that message, we said there's always a ship going the wrong way when you run from the Lord. It's easy to find something going the wrong way. And I like that. He paid the price. I'm going to tell you something. You get on the wrong ship, you're going to pay the price, okay? And he paid the price. He got on the wrong ship. God said, go this way. He went the other way, 2,500 miles of the other direction, and he ran from God and gets on a cruise across the Mediterranean Sea, and it wasn't a very pleasant cruise. It was kind of a rough sea that time, and God sent a storm, bouncing the ship around. He goes in the bottom of the ship, takes a nap. He's sleeping down there, kind of relaxing down there, fast asleep. Reluctant prophet, running from God. You're not going to pray. Captain comes out. Everybody on deck's praying. Jonah, why don't you pray? Why don't you ask your God? And when you're running from God, you're not going to pray. You know that one, right? You know, you run from God, prayer is not on your list. And he's running from God, so he's not praying. But guess what happens? They figure out what's going on. They pitch him in the ocean. Anybody familiar with the story? Throw him in the ocean. Big old giant fish swallows him up. And I'm going to tell you, when you're in the belly of the fish, you're going to start praying, right? When you're in the midst of trouble, what are you going to do? When things aren't going right, things aren't going well, you're going to start praying. So we said a running prophet is a prayerless prophet. A prophet in the belly of a fish, I'm not going to say a whale because I don't think it was a whale. I think it was a giant fish. Prophet in the belly of a whale, you're going to do some praying. So he's praying in the fish, and he's praying and asking God. And so it says this, while Jonah was inside the fish, he prayed to the Lord and said, chapter 2 is a big old prayer. We kind of went through that prayer and kind of seen what God was doing and how God had answered. He makes a lot of commitment to God. He turns around telling God, God, I'll do whatever you want. I'll keep my vow. I'll keep my promise. And in the midst of that fish, vomits him up. I like the way it says this. The Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish threw up Jonah onto the dry land. You know, I was thinking about this. Here you got Jonah sitting on the beach now. Now, I hope he goes in and takes a bath, okay? I mean, I can't imagine what it must have looked like seeing this guy sitting on this beach. You know, and here he is sitting on the beach. Now he's got a decision to make. All right? He ran from God. God kind of pulled him back. God got his attention. Pulled him back. He went back to starting to pray. In the midst of that prayer, he recommits his life to God. And now he's sitting on the beach. Now he's got a decision. What am I going to do? And that's what we're going to look at today. And that's what I want us to think about today. I'm going to skip down to the third verse in that third chapter, and it says this. So Jonah obeyed the Lord. Why don't you circle that word obeyed? So Jonah obeyed the Lord and got up and went to Nineveh. It was a very large to walk across. Took him 3 days. Jonah got up and obeyed the law. So I went like this. We had a reluctant prophet who was a prayerless prophet who in the belly of a fish he prayed, and now he is an obedient prophet. And so you can put that little word obedient there in the middle of that sentence. And you see this obedient prophet. Because Jonah's going to do what God says. And as I read, I want to make sure you get a picture here. It was immediate. It's what God was about. It's not like he's got my attention. I'm not going to run anymore. I'm not going to mess around anymore. It's time that I am going to do what God said. Immediately, he got up and followed God's instructions. I want us to think about that this morning. I want you to look at Jonah as this obedient prophet. And I begin with this statement. If you're looking at your outline, I put it this way. A do-over. Jonah's getting a do-over. Chapter 1, God says, Jonah, Nineveh, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them that what I'm telling you to speak to them. And Jonah ran. And now in the third chapter, Jonah's getting a do-over, another. I used to try to play golf. Some of you went golfing with me. Anybody ever go golfing with me? I got a lot of do-overs in golf. They call them mulligans. You know? And, you know, you're trying to get a good score, so you want a lot of mulligans. You don't have to count those. But Jonah's getting this over. He's getting a second chance. Look at what it says, Jonah chapter 3:1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah's getting a second chance. And I want us to think about that this morning. That's going to be kind of the whole topic this morning, is God is a God of second chances. God is a God who gives us more than one opportunity. God provides those times in our life when we get to start over. Have you ever wanted to start over? You ever said something you wish you could take back? You ever do something you wish you hadn't done? You've been somewhere where you wish you hadn't been? You know, choices that you wish you could let's just kind of erase that. Anybody ever have an Etch-A-Sketch? Anybody ever grow up having an Etch-A-Sketch? Anybody? You guys, yeah, you know, remember that little thing, you know, you set and you draw on the screen and you kind of, you know, draw all these things, and it's hard to make a circle, isn't it? You know, trying to make a circle. Yeah. That's kind of what God does. He's kind of, you know, God takes our life as an Etch-A-Sketch. You know, it's like, okay, it's a do-over now. And you turn it over, shake it up. Okay, let's start all over. Isn't that what God does? Isn't that how God works? He gives second chances, these second opportunities. And I want to believe this morning. I think there's some of you here this morning that you need a second chance. God's been calling you, and God's been speaking to you, and God's been tugging on your heart. And you know, and maybe, you know, a few years ago, you know, it's like, yeah, God, I'll go to church. Yeah, God, I'll get right with you. Yeah, God, I'll start. And you kind of, I remember as we were singing that song, I don't know, that last song they sung, they didn't use one of the words properly. I told them on the way out, they mispronounced one of the words. It's called Warsh, okay? Anybody? Come on now, are you Warshed? I grew up with my grandma. Now, come on. You know, that's the way they, you know, are you worse? You know, my grandma talking about my uncle. I wasn't in church. I was just a kid. And my uncle's just a few years older than me, 10 years or so older than me. And my grandma was in church. And she was talking about my uncle. He wasn't in church. And she said like this, he's out there sowing his wild oats. Anybody ever hear something like that? Some of you guys are too young. I have no idea what I'm talking about. He's just out there doing his own thing, all right? He's out there, you know, not doing what God wants. He's sowing his wild oats. And some of you have been sowing your wild oats. God spoke to you. You know, maybe you were a teenager, were a child, and God spoke to you, and it's just like, later, God. You know, later, God. I'll accept you later, God. I got some things I want to do first, God. I got some things I want to do in my life. I got some things, places I want to go, God. When I finish college, God, when I get married, God, and some of you need a second chance. You need that second chance. It's time to cross that line. You hear me. Those have been with me. You know what I'm saying? There's this invisible line about being a Christian. And it's not walking out and shaking some preacher's hand or I'm going to be a good person. It's reaching a point in your life where you say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. And you had that chance and you just kind of put it off. See, I believe today's a second chance for some. I believe for some it's a second chance because, you know, God pulled at your heart and God tugged at your heart and wanted you to serve him, wanted you to be a part of something. You know, wanna go work in children's ministry. Go knock on your neighbor's door. Go forgive that person who was mean to you. And you just kind of pushed God aside and said, God, I don't want to do that right now. God, I don't want to deal with that right now. God, I'm busy doing my things right now. And so, you know, you're kind of like Jonah. And see, what I'm saying is God giving you a second chance. You get a do-over. You get an opportunity. What am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to go with this? And see, it's coming back to, I like what Jonah said in that second chapter in his prayer. Listen to what he said again. We did this last week. That I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. See, there's a second chance to make good. Anybody? There's a second chance to start all over, to put those things behind, to let those things just kind of shake out of our lives, and we can move on, and we can move over, and we can keep going. And then you get to verse 2, and it goes, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and preach to it what I tell you to say. It's time to get up, Jonah. It's time to move. And I want to tell you this morning, for second chances, it's time to get up. Now, don't get up and walk out right now, okay? But it's time to make that decision. We look at our world today, and we look at the church, and it's a bad time for Christians. It's not a good time. The media is attacking the Christians, the college campuses. You can't say anything about God. All this negative stuff about the church. But I want to tell you, I think it's a good time for the church. Because either you're going to be in, or you're going to be out. There's no more middle ground. You know, because you can't waddle there anymore. And God is saying, here's your chance. Here's that line. Are you going to make that decision? I'm going to make that commitment. I'm going to go for it. Jonah got up, and he went to that city. Look at what it says. So Jonah obeyed the Lord. He got up and went. It was a very large city. Just to walk across it, a person had to walk 3 days. Jonah got up and went to Nineveh. Now, when we started this series, I kind of painted a picture of Nineveh. Nineveh was the large capital of Assyria. Not a pleasant place. A very large city. 7.5-mile wall around this city. 3 days to walk across. We just read that in the scripture there. It was a cultural center. A very evil city, because the people, I didn't tell you that. You can go home, because I didn't want to get into all the gross things of how they tortured and humiliated and punished people that they conquered. It was a horrible city, and Jonah didn't want to go there. We wrestled why, as we talked about it. Was it a fear that he didn't want to go there? That he was afraid, because he's Jewish, he's Israel, and he's going to Assyria, and he's not going to really be welcome there? Was there some hatred? Was there some anger? Maybe there were some family members that had been tortured by the people of Nineveh. He, for whatever reason, he didn't want to go there. And now he's got to go there. And I just think about going to this place that he didn't want to go, that he got up and go. Anybody here like going to places you don't want to go? Anybody here married? Anybody here married? You know? And your spouse says, let's go to the mall. Or how about this one? Let's go to Kohl's. Come on, guys. Don't you like going to Kohl's, guys? Isn't Kohl's the guy's store? You know? What do you do when you get out? I want to go to that place. That's not my place. But Jonah got up, and he went. He didn't hesitate. He didn't play around. He learned his lesson real quick. I don't like the belly of that fish. I don't want to go back there. And so he got up, and he went. See, we gotta let go of some things that hold us back. You know? It's like God is saying, go. I've shared this. When I became a Christian, it took me 6 months before I walked the aisle to say I wanted to get baptized. And I've shared with you, I didn't want to. I was a shy kid. Can you guys believe that? I didn't want to be in front of anybody, didn't want to say anything. You know, I that wasn't for me. And 6 months, I had to put aside, and my aunt had to walk the aisle. Those who know my story, my aunt came and said, Gary, I'll walk with you. And so I went. What do we got to do? I got to have a reputation. You know, God, yeah, I want to serve you, but I don't want people thinking this. I don't want people saying this. God, yeah, I'm going to make that, but I... You know, is there things we got to let go of? You know, things in our life that kind of hold us back? You know, we live in a world that's very materialistic. You know, and stuff and things. And I'm changing some life choices. I'm changing my life. And I don't want to let go. And Jonah had to let go of all that fear or anger or hate. He had to let go of all of that as he went into the city of Nineveh. I want us to see that picture as he goes to Nineveh and as he approaches that city. And I kind of wonder, as he's going to that city, God says, I want you to go to this city and preach. And I wonder his mind. He's going to a place that's horrible. A place that is known for evil, full of evil people, a place that doesn't care for Jews. He's going to this city, and I'm wondering what's going through his mind. I can imagine him walking down the road as he's walking towards Nineveh. Probably, if he's me, walking slowly, you know, it's like, okay, I'm getting there, God. Anybody ever do that with God? God, I'm getting there. I'll get, you know, I could just see Jonah just kind of going, okay, God. And I can see his mind, what am I going to preach? Let's see. Well, maybe I'll preach, don't be mean. Think happy thoughts. Don't worry. You know, I'll preach these good little things to him. And I could just see him as he wrestles with going to the city of Nineveh. And what's he going to do? You know, the fear, you know, if I get there, you know, if they don't like me, they're going to kill me. I could just see these thoughts. Then listen to what it says. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city. So he walks into the city proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He walks into the city and he goes, turn or burn. Make your choice. You got 40 days. Tick, tick, tick. My grandfather, like I said, I was made to go to church and all that. And my other side of my family went, my aunts and uncles and all of them, but I didn't. My grandfather, born 1907, he preached what was called then hell, fire, brimstone. See, some of you guys know. He preached those hell, fire, and brimstone sermons. I really regret that I didn't become a Christian earlier, because I never really got to hear my grandfather preach one message. I wish I would have had Aaron preach more. And I really do. I kind of regret that, part of my regret. That he preaches hell, fire, and brimstone. Turn or burn. So Jonah walks into this city that he's afraid of, the city that's known for evil, and he walks Main Street and says, turn or burn, folks. You got 40 days. Tick, 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 tick. Now, isn't that exciting? I think about this for Jonah's life. But I want to make sure, why don't you circle that word overthrow? Because this word has kind of a double meaning here. It can mean to turn about or over, to change, to overturn. It can mean to turn over, to change, to turn over a new leaf. It also can mean to overthrow, to cause, to ruin, to destroy. So Jonah walks into town saying, either you're going to have to change the way you live, or you're going to die. It's your choice. And that's his message. He comes doing that in this city of evil. You know, I can imagine walking down this street, and I don't know, I see these big burly guys, you know, tattoos, puffing on cigarettes out of their mouth, you know. And it's like, hey, you got to turn or burn, brother. Yeah. I just have this picture that Jonah goes. You know, sometimes doing what God says can be scary. Anybody? You know, following God can always be a little intimidating. Doing what God... I remember when I first started preaching, like I said, I didn't like getting in front of people. I did not like... I told you, my first message, I worked that thing out. I worked on it. I practiced it. It was minutes. When I preached my first message, 5 minutes and I was done on a Sunday night. I mean, it was just whoosh. Yeah. The good part about the service, my grandma came walking, they all crying, shouting. She was a shouting Baptist. She's coming down the hall, down the aisle, shouting, so happy to see her grandson up there. I still remember that. You know, some of you guys, I wish you'd just preach 5 minutes. That's what you guys are doing. Yeah, let's go back to those days. Yeah. But he goes preaching this message. And so think about it. He had his second chance. I think he was still a little bit reluctant. We're going to see that next week. So if you want to come next week. But I want us to kind of think about, there's four things that happened in Nineveh that's really important. Because it's part of the second chance. It's part of what God does. It's part of how God does. The clock was ticking. Tick, tick, tick. I could just see the people in Nineveh. This guy found 1,500 miles away, or whatever it was, 1,000 miles away, comes to town and says, change or die, turn or burn, it's your choice. and you got 40 days. Tick, 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 and the clock is ticking. So what do? So I put it this way. The first thing they do is they believe God. They believe God. Here's your choice. You got a choice. Are you going to go with God or not? Now I'm going to tell you, this is hard to believe. Talking about an evil city far from God. Running, they didn't run from God. They weren't even pursuing God. You got this evil city, and it's hard to believe that these guys would turn to God, that they would believe in God. I kind of thought about it this way. Can you imagine if all of a sudden you walk out of church, you turn the TV on, it's news, Tom Cruise, evangelist for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Howard Stern, Christian jock now, preaching purity and sexual purity. Wouldn't that sound? Yeah. Las Vegas, God's city, no more sin city. Casinos now, worship centers. Can you, that's what we're talking about here. You know, we're talking about a major transformation. People you would never believe turning to God. People you would never believe getting right with God. Anybody have friends like that? Yeah. Those that you know, they're furthest from God that you know, they'll never believe. I don't know what am I ever going to do. I'm sure my grandma thought that about me. Yeah. What are we ever going to do with that grandson of ours? Yeah. And here all of a sudden they believe God. Look at what it says here. The people of Nineveh believed God. Why don't you circle that? That's important. They believed God. They announced they would fast for a while. They would put on rough cloth to show their sadness. All the people in this city did this, from the most important to the least important. I want to tell you, make sure you, they believed God. Did it say they believed Jonah? I'm going to tell you something this morning. Don't believe me. Believe God. All right? That's what it's all about. Somebody's asked me sometime about doing some speeches and doing things. And here's my belief about speeches and things. I have nothing to say if I don't talk about God. I really don't. All I know is once I was lost and now I'm saved and I want everybody else to know. You know, that's what I know. You know, so believe what God says. It doesn't matter what Gary says. Gary gets crazy ideas. Some of you have been with me for 33 years. You know that. And but God works, and they believed God. It changed their life. They believed God, and they started making some changes. It says, and maybe the word I want to talk about is fasting here. You know, they began to fast. They put on some sackcloth. They began to themselves. They began to set themselves aside. And so I want to ask us, you know, that's kind of like that first step. Do we believe God? I've been thinking of working on a sermon series. On creation. Because here's my thought. I don't know, this is something I'm thinking. You guys can tell me, you know, about believing God and stuff. Whether you believe in creation or you believe in evolution, it's going to take faith. And I'm going to tell you what. Do I want to believe God or do I want to believe scientists that can't even decide if Pluto's a planet or a dwarf? You know? Where am I going to put my faith? Where am I going to put my belief? Now, I will tell you, I like science. You know? I like their medicines. I like computer science. I love my computer. You know? I like my smartphone. Anybody else? You know, we like science. But science can't answer life's issues. And so I'm ready. Do you believe God? What do we do with God? When God knocks on your heart, second chance. Third chance. What do we do? They believe God. The second thing I put down here as I read through their story here in this third chapter is they called on God. First, they believed God. They humbled themselves. They got ready. They fasted. They believed God, and they started making some changes. They started doing some things. And then it goes like this. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne. Now, I'll make sure you're at the top. Change begins at the top, right? Families, I'm going to be mean, okay? Starts with a man. Maybe I'm a sexist. Maybe you want to be, I'm not, what do they call it? Politically correct, whatever. But I believe the man needs to be spiritual leader in the home, guys, okay? I believe he sets the tone. You need to know, I pray I pray for my grandsons, and I pray for some of the boys in this church, and I shouldn't say the boys I know. I pray by name that they'll be godly men who will lead their families in a godly way. It starts at the top. It starts with the king. The king started this. He rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Being a leader means you got to be humble. Anybody? A leader being the man of the house means I'm the man of the house. No. It means I'm the man of the house, and I love my wife, and I'm here. See, he starts it. This is the proclamation he issued to Nimrod. By the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not them eat or drink. They're taking a fast, okay? Let the people and the animals be covered with sackcloth. They're going to humble themselves. But let people and animals cover themselves with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Why don't you circle back? Call urgently. The clock is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. Your second chance is here. Tick, tick. Well, there's always tomorrow, right? Is anybody here guaranteed tomorrow? We don't know. Now, I got plans for tomorrow. You know, I got my agenda. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow, and I kind of know what I'm going to do during the week, and you know, I kind of got an outline of what's going to happen. But is there really a tomorrow? I still remember a funeral home, and I had to go to a car accident, and it's burned in my mind. I've never got this, and we made a removal at the car accident, and there was a lady that had been killed in the car accident, and she was eating an apple. And what it showed me was how instantaneous life can be. That there's no tomorrow. Things can change. They called urgently. The king knew the clock was ticking. 40 days. You got 40 to make your mind up. Anybody like me, a procrastinator? You know, let me think about it for a while. You know, I'll pray about it for a while. See, one of the things I had to let go of, you know, you were sitting here in this building. Some of you don't know this story. We're sitting here in this building, and this is, I can tell you all sorts of stories about how God worked this. Some of you guys can know that. But I'm a control freak. All right, anybody? You know, I'm a control freak. That's who I am. I in every church that we could do, I was always able to make it work, no matter what. If somebody fell down, if something happened, something didn't work right, I could always fix it and make it work. And then God says, we're going to tear a building down and put a new building up. And I can't make that work. You know, I had leaders in the church tell me, when are we going to do it, Gary? When are we going to do it, Gary? And I'm sitting there, I'm praying. And I went to the mountains and I prayed, and I finally come home and I had the leaders in the church saying, we're going to do it. And I came back saying, okay, God says we can do it. No, it's really God saying, Gary, get off of it. I had to let go of self-control. Anybody else a control? Somebody got to let go of control freak. You can't handle anything. I had to count on others to make this thing possible. You know, now I worked here too. But I could not, you know, like I've shared the story in our old building, we had a baptistry in there. It's like when I came, there was just a floor and a stage, and it's like, I want to put a bathroom. And it's like, I can do this. I know how to drive nails. I know how to cut. You know, I know how to wire. I can do this. Plumb, I could do this. I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. And some of you know how well I'm a master at it. You know? And so I said, okay, I'm going to do this. So I buy the baptistry, the church buys it, but we do all this. And as soon as we cut that first part of the floor, I realized, you know what? I can't do this by myself. That God had sent somebody else into town. And this is the fun part. He had just built a bar. He just remodeled a bar in Oregon and moved down here and was a friend of somebody in our church. Now his wife went to church, but he didn't. Neither did his son. Ends up putting our baptistry in, and guess what? He ends up getting baptized in the baptistry that he put in. Because Gary was willing to let go of control. We got to call on God and let go immediately, urgently. We can't wait. I look at this thing, and it's like we got to do this. No, Jonah's passion, and he's preaching with power, and they're humbling themselves, and it's like, okay, God, we need you. We can't do this. We need you. And what I want to make sure you know is this. Nineveh was far from God, right? I made sure I said that right. Nineveh had nothing to do with God. They were not on God's page. They weren't even Jews, right? Come on now. They weren't even the chosen people. They were as far from God as anybody could be. We thought Noah was far when he's in the belly of the fish. These guys are even not from God. But guess what? God hears. Just like he heard from Jonah. Look again. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. God hears. I want to tell you something this morning. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how far you feel you are from God. I don't care how far you ignored God. I'm going to tell you, you call on God, and he will hear you. You guys hear that? Yeah. A lot of times we think, well, I've just done too much in my life. If you only knew what I did. You know, I hear those stories. I don't care. God is a God of second chance. You call on God and he hears. He will always hear. Last week we told Jonah felt he was in hell. That's what he's talking about here. I mean, that's as far from God as you can get. That God hears. So they believed God, they called on God, and then I put it this way, they repented of their evil ways. All right. Jonah's preaching, turn or burn. Hell, fire, and brimstone. Get it right. Tick, 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 tick. You got 40 days. The clock is ticking. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Boom, boom. You ever feel decisions? Anybody? How do you like it when you feel pressure to make a decision? You ever push back? That's kind of my initial reaction. Don't push. Now, this morning, I'm going to be honest. I feel this morning as I was writing, I'm going to be kind of rough this morning. I hope you guys. But it's God, all right? I'm going to put God. You know, because it's like the clock is ticking. Our life is past. I will turn 62 in November. I'm an old man. No, I'm not. Yeah. The other day, I still see myself as a young preacher. I'm just, look at that young kid. I'm not a young kid anymore. Clock is ticking. Tick, tick, tick. Time flies faster than you can believe. I cannot believe it in 3 years. Anybody? Anybody feel like time's just flying? You know? It's like it's time. Look at what it says. But let the people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Then he finishes this way. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Give it up. Turn around. Go different way. Don't go there. We're changing. I love that picture. The king says, we're going to repent. I'm going to turn around and go the other direction. Isn't that what Jonah had to do? Jonah was literally heading east. God said go east, and Jonah went west. I got to make sure I get my east and west right. You know? And he was just going the opposite. He had to literally repent and go the other way, and that's what God calls us. We need to make sure we're going the right direction. So he had to repent and in this city to change and to move and to do something different. And then I like what the king says. Look at what it says here. I want to spend a minute with this. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Who knows? Here's what I want to tell you something. Jonah knows. Because Jonah was in the belly of a fish. Jonah knows God. Jonah knows God gives second chances. Jonah knows God gives do-overs. Jonah knows God gives opportunities. The king, they didn't know. Who knows? The king says, who knows? Who knows? I know. I know God gives second chances. I know God gives do-over. I know God's grace. I know God's mercy. See, I love the picture. The king is saying, let's turn. Let's not do this evil. We don't know what's going to happen. Who knows? But let's change. Here's what I know you can know. God's grace is true. God's mercy is real. He knows. And you know, you get second chances. You can start all over. You can walk out these doors today a new person. The past is gone. It's no more. You can walk out these doors vowed to God. God, I told you 20 years ago, and I've been running, God. I'm not. Who knows? I'm going to tell you something. You can know. Just as I can. I am so of God's grace and mercy. I still do stupid things. I still do dumb stuff. I'm not on a second chance, just so you know that. I've lost count of how many chances God has given me. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm sold out. And I know. I want you to know that. I want you to experience God. He says, who knows if God's compassion? I'm going to tell you, ever since Jesus, y'all know. When Jesus was nailed to that cross, died on that cross, rose from the grave, he lives today, we know God's grace and mercy. No matter how far you've gone, no matter where you've been, God. I want to make sure you get this picture. God knows, and you can too. Because here's how it ends. They experienced God's mercy. They didn't know. They were not seeking God. They were not pursuing God. God was not on their page. Who knows? God's mercy. Look what it said. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them to destruction he had threatened. God saw. I'm going to ask you right here, this God sees. You're sitting here, Labor Day weekend. I think that's great. You didn't go out vacation. I went up, just so you know, Friday, I went up to the mountains. I came back Saturday. I was glad I was coming back. I seen the cars going up Highway 108. I'm glad I wasn't in that line. But I want to ask you, what does God see? Where are you at? Challenge you. God is a God of second chance. What do you need to let go of? A job? Just dominate your time? Maybe some anger with some Christians? Maybe there was a church that hurt you. You know, churches hurt people sometimes. Maybe there's a church that hurt you. Maybe some Christian. You know, you had a Christian neighbor and you go, that's a Christian. I never want to be a Christian. Maybe there's a broken relationship that just won't let you. Maybe you're a Christian and maybe you're hanging on to some anger. That person that, you know, they just did you dirty. They did you wrong. And you just got this anger and you got some resentment. And you're just kind of hanging on. I want to challenge you this morning. You want to walk out of here different? I love this story. Believe God, call on God, repent, and experience mercy. Isn't that great? People who were far from God. Some of you here, you got your little mask on, you know, and you know, you're making life look so good, but inside you're just tore up. You know, I'm cool. I'm all right. You got to hold that reputation. You need to let go of that. I got news for you. I'm going to be really honest with you. You're messed up. Okay? We're all messed up, all right? I'm in that. We're all messed up. Anybody that tells me I've got life together, not only do you have life together, but you're also a liar. We put these masks on. You know, God, you ever tell God, God, I've forgiven them? And I want to challenge us this morning. God's second chance. Have you experienced his grace? His mercy? You've been running from God? Running from salvation? God, I'll accept Jesus later on in life. That was me. You know, when I get older, you know, when different job, when I have more time, I'll start going to church, God. When, Anybody ever say things like this? When I get out of school, you know, God, I'll start serving you when... Anybody ever? Second chance? See, I'm going to challenge you. Like I said, this is a rough message. But I go back to Jonah. Back to Jonah. He preached hellfire and brimstone, and they believed God. So don't believe me, believe God. I'm going to challenge you. What will you do? It's your choice. Who knows? Who knows? You can know today the second chance grace and mercy of God. Wherever you've been, did you let go of whatever's stopping you? The king of Nineveh did. Humbled himself. I mean, he's the king. Put on those rotten clothes, fasted, all this stuff. Who knows? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. That you are a God of second chances. And the number can go on to infinity. Thank you for compassion and grace. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're here this morning and you want a second. I don't know what it might be involved in, relationship, whatever, decision about Jesus. Maybe you never crossed that invisible line. You want a second? Would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. I see that. Lord, you've seen the hands because you know the hearts of those who want the secondhand grace. Not that grace is secondhand, but it's a second chance. Lord, do over. We get a new and fresh start. Lord, I ask you to renew their heart, to encourage and strengthen them, that they can know the compassion, that they can know the love, that they can know the grace and the mercy that you have for them. Who knows, Lord? Let them know. Let them understand. Let them feel the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.